You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
Please hear that. Because if you don't remain conscious of the fact that you've already won, you'll find yourself forgetting that you've already won and then allowing the enemy to push you over an edge that you don't want to go over. The key to all, quote unquote, what religion calls backsliding is this. Somewhere along the line, somebody forgot who they were. That's the key to all Christian backsliding, any type of checking out of the faith or any type of I just need a break from church or any of that mess, all of it, every last piece of it is somewhere along the line you forgot who you were. You forgot who you were. I tell my children at home, I tell my wife, and I tell every last student that I am responsible for. Can't nobody make you feel like nothing. So stop saying that. They just made me feel like, No, you're giving them too much power. That's right. If they can make you feel like, fill in the blank, they've got too much power. Their name ain't God. And feelings are carnal anyway. That's why the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. It's talking about your soul, your feelings, your emotion, when it's not in submission to the Spirit, will deceive you into thinking that somebody has the power to make you do something. Well, they just made me feel so bad about myself. Stop it. They can't make you feel bad about you. That's why it's called self-esteem. It's the esteem of yourself. How's somebody going to affect how you feel about you? I'm going to leave that alone, too. That's a whole nother sermon. I'm praying that God will let me preach a sermon of a whole series on that. Anyway, number six, honor is the linchpin for taking on the full armor of God. You need to take honor to a whole new level, and it starts at home. The word says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. More honorable, which means that there is honor and then there's more honorable. We did the Monday morning jumpstart today that's going to be aired on this coming Monday. And I asked the person who did it with me this. I said, what's the best kind of chicken? More chicken. What's the best kind of money? More money. What's the best kind of honor? More honor. Just saying, it's the best kind of gravy, extra gravy. So there is an increase. There are amounts in this. You can be honorable, but only honorable because you're giving somebody FaceTime. How about increase it to that more honor? That's the linchpin for taking on the full armor of God. Last one that you've already learned is this. God is faithful and will do what he promised he will do. Everybody amens that part. Yeah. Now amen this part. Satan is faithful and will do what the word says he intends to do. Amen. He is. Came to steal, kill, and destroy. You let him steal, kill, and destroy. Guess what he's going to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Some of y'all need to stop expecting the devil to just be like, that's okay. I'm going to leave you alone. I see you all jacked up and snot crying and everything. Y'all know what snot crying is? Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure. Y'all see you all jacked up and snot crying, and so I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to have mercy. No! He's going to finish the job if you let him.
Yeah, that's right.
So, God is faithful and will do what he promised. Satan is faithful and will do what the word says he's going to do. The only question is whether or not you're going to do what you're supposed to do and stand. That's the only question. That's the fight, the good fight of faith. Are you going to take on enough faith to stand where you're supposed to stand? You don't got to earn it. You got to stand in it. You just got to stay in it. You just got to stay in it. It can never get stale to you. I feel this in my spirit. There's somebody in here and you're stale in your faith. You know how quick you can turn that around? 1 second, I'm not stale anymore. That's why the Bible says, stir yourself up in your most holy faith. You stir yourself up. Don't nobody else get to coach you and prod you into your faith. It's your faith. It belongs to you. And there's someone in here, you need to hear that because you have felt like you've just run out of steam. Baby, in the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as burnout. In the world, there's a such thing as burnout. But in the kingdom, there's no such thing as burnout. The fire of God burns and it doesn't consume what it was burning. Moses, Ten Commandments, burning bush. I saw a bush that was burning, yet not consumed. If you get consumed by whatever fire is burning, then it ain't God. That one's free, Selah. You think about that. If it consumes you, it ain't God. But if you can burn and burn without ending, that's called Holy Ghost burning. Do you think God would send something on you that would consume you? No. He's only going to pour his spirit out in the measure that you're able to receive it and just a little bit more to help grow you up. But he's not going to do anything detrimental to you. So some of the things you've been asking God for, he's looking back at you and going, as soon as you're able to take it, I'll give it to you. That's why you got to work on your ability to take. Amen? All right. So now what? We engage. The definition of engage is to become involved or to fight someone. Literally, I promise I did not make that up. I typed in engage on the computer and said define. And it gave me a list of all of these definitions. Some of them had to do with the putting of the ring on the finger. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. If you like it, then you put a ring on it. Oh, oh, oh. So, no, none of y'all need to be listening to that song until you get older. None of you. So yeah, to get engaged means to get ready to get involved with someone, as in marriage. But to engage actually means to get involved or to fight someone. You have a real adversary. He's expecting you to put up your dukes. But the way you fight him is you throw up your hands. Amen. Yeah. And you said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not fighting you in the world. I'm fighting you on the greater term. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So here's what we do. What does it look like to engage in war with the enemy and to win? What is victory? Ephesians chapter 6. Get ready, interns. Interns, y'all ready? Are we ready? Amen. I'm getting a thumbs up from Mindy. All the other interns looking at me like, what is this? I didn't know anything about it. Congratulations, you're an intern. Ephesians chapter 6. Here we go. I want you to, let's start at verse 10. You've heard this before. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Where are they? Heavenly places. When you try to engage in the battle on the earth, you're going to get your head kicked in. Go to heavenly places. That's why God says, come up here. Because I can't show you down there. You got to come up here. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. How much of the armor? Whole thing. Some people try to put on half the armor and go to battle. And you wonder why you've been getting beaten. Because you ain't got on the whole thing. I used to have these bad dreams where I show up in class and I'm sitting, I'm doing my homework. And y'all know what I'm about to talk about, don't you? Some of y'all had this same dream, don't you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I promise you, it ain't prophetic. Don't do this at home. Anyway, I had these dreams where I was sitting in class and I'm doing my work and the teacher calls on me and I stand up to answer and lo and behold, I don't have on any pants. And I'm like, I couldn't feel a draft or nothing, Jesus. I'm just, what happened? It's just me and my boxers just standing in front of the class. And everybody looking at me like this. You're exposed, man. You got to take on the whole thing. You can't just put on a little bit of it and expect to be effective. That's exactly, you see what you're doing? You're laughing. That's exactly what the devil does when you put on half the armor of God. He just laughs at you. You think you're going to win, don't you? You about to get your head kicked in. Kicked to sleep. That's what you about to get because you didn't put on the whole thing. All right, so therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Here's where we're going to hang out for some. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you can will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Somebody say, in the Spirit. That's going to become critically important. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance, say utterance, may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Those of you who come to the intensive, you know what's about to go down. The word wherefore, or where it says therefore in some of the translations, literally means on account of this, and relates back to the earlier description of the conflict, spiritual warfare, and the enemies. Take unto you, or take on, put on, refers to the decisive act of taking all the armor of God has that God has supplied so that the person can stand his ground when the evil days come. A probable reference to the time when the conflict becomes most severe. As a result, having done all, and after you have done, after you have won the battle, the Christian can stand victoriously. That's what my concordance says. Victory is found in standing, being unmovable in the victory that Jesus has already won for you. You have to be so centered in your knowledge of the victory of Jesus and become unmovable and stand there by faith. The word to stand literally means stand firm, place firmly, establish, set, confirm. It can also mean to stand in an appointed place. It denotes the endurance of that which is standing, to take a stand and establish your faith and to endure while you are standing. The number one reasons Christians get into trouble is they stop standing. Yes. No, God does not hate you. Yes. No, the devil's not going to keep winning. No, you're not doing it wrong. No, you're not applying it wrong. No, you didn't get it wrong. No, you didn't hear it wrong. You're just not standing where you're supposed to be standing. God told you what to do, and that's stand. So stand. Stand in a place of honor. Stand in a place of faith. Stand fast, understanding who your God is. He's bigger than everything else you got going on if you just stand. If you keep moving, you're going to get jacked up. If you stand still, that's when you apply Psalm 91. 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It won't come near you as long as you stand. But when you start moving, you start making yourself vulnerable. Come here, Mindy. Verse 14. This is all you. You got to be real loud and nice and clear. All of that right there. Yeah, right there. Verse 14. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I want Mindy to read what this means in the concordance, and then I'm going to talk to you about what it means for you to gird yourself with truth and put on a breastplate of righteousness. Go.
Before the armor could be put on, the soldier had to bind the loose, flowing garments worn.
Wait a minute. I forgot how much that made me just want to dance. Glory. Let's say that again. Before the armor could be put on, what did the soldier have to do?
The soldier had to bind the loose.
You got to bind up what's loose. Yeah. I'm just sorry. That just hit me. Okay, keep going. Glory to God. And go ahead.
Flowing garments worn by people of that day so he could enjoy freedom of movement. To tighten the belt meant a soldier was ready for duty. To loosen it meant he was going off duty.
Hold on. So you mean to tell me that I can tell whether or not you're ready to go to work in the spirit realm by whether or not you're loose or tight? Some folks get loose. And when you get loose, things happen. I don't know if anybody around, just saying, take it for what it is. I didn't say it, the book said it. I'm just saying. So, has anyone ever walked up to you and said, hey, tighten up, son? Hello. Keep going.
In the scriptures, loins were used often to signify strength. Girded loins meant the opposite of self-indulgence, ease, or carelessness. Paul compared the wide leather belt of the soldier to the belt of truth, worn by the Christian who stands literally in the realm of truth. The person who operates in the realm of the truth of God's words will not be defeated in battle.
Now listen to this part. This is about righteousness. Go.
The breastplate usually was composed of metallic scales, but sometimes it was made of leather or bronze. It covered the torso and so protected the vital organs of the body, the heart, the lungs, etc. The breastplate often saved the Roman soldier from being mortally wounded. Similarly, the person who is just or righteous because he has accepted the righteousness of Christ will not be mortally wounded in the spiritual warfare in which he is engaged. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness means an individual has come to grips with the basic tenets of the gospel.
Huh. So you mean to tell me that everything you learned in Super Kids had to do with your breastplate of righteousness?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you have a full understanding of the basic tenets of the gospel, you understand who you are in Christ. Remember, Nicodemus, come to Jesus by night. What must I do to be saved? He said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You being born again means you're a new creation. Old things passed away. All things are new. You have been called the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus because you're in Jesus. You're not like you used to be, which means that the old man may have been unrighteous, but the new man or the new woman is righteous. Now get this. This is the truth, right? And so it says that you have to center and bind yourself around your loins or about your waist with truth. You have to be so centered on the truth, on the truth, on the truth. What is the truth? John 17, Jesus prays to the Father that they will be sanctified by the truth. And he says this word, thy word is truth. If it says it in the book, it's the truth. Whether you like it or not, feel like it or not, want to do it or not, it's still the truth. Some people don't like to hear the fact that you're righteous because you don't feel righteous. We didn't ask you how you felt. You're righteous. Amen? All right. So righteousness, the breastplate was a piece of protective armor. So if righteousness is a breastplate, then righteousness is protective in nature. Righteous consciousness will protect you from the attacks of the enemy. If you can remember that you are righteous, when the enemy comes at you and says you're ugly, you're fat, you're stupid, and you're never going to be anything, you can look at him and go, you know what? I'm everything I need to be already. I'm righteous.
Yeah.
So shut up. You get that? Righteousness, you being conscious of your righteousness will protect you from having your heart broken. You won't ever, ever have a depression problem ever again. Why? Because you know you're righteous. You won't ever, ever, ever have a heartbreak again. Why? Because you know you're righteous. You won't ever, 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 you will never be disappointed. That means to miss your appointment. Why? Because you've been appointed in righteousness. Amen? All right, Mindy, you can go. I need the next intern. Who did I say it was? Brooke, come here, Brooke. Walk it out, Brooke, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. When we started this internship, I said, we're gonna teach these children something. And so I had y'all looking this stuff up today, didn't I? That's what I thought. Anyway, so here you go. You're gonna be right there. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, while she's reading that, I'm going to turn in my Bible over here. Get to reading, girl. Go.
Thirdly, the soldier needed sure footing to enable him to march and to move quickly when necessary. The Roman sandal or military shoe was bound by a thong over the instep and around the ankle. And the sole was studded with nails to permit
sure-footedness. There you go.
The preparation of the gospel of peace is a fitting way of stating that a Christian must be prepared with a gospel which has peace as its message.
Huh. Interesting. Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 10, verse 15 says this, and how shall they preach? Let's go back and catch 14 because you need to get this. How then shall they call upon him who they have not believed? How can they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Remember when I told you you're going to be walking down that long hallway at Southwest Believers Convention? Somebody's going to need to hear that God loves them, and how they're going to hear that unless there's somebody who's going to say it to them. Verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. The girl just read, and in case you couldn't understand her through all the giggles, that, I love you, Brooke, that having your feet shod in Roman times meant it was so still that there was a nail that ensured that the shoe was not coming off. Which means the gospel of peace needs to never come out of you where it doesn't get applied. It needs to never come off your body. You need to, everywhere you go, peace, peace, peace. Peace. You know how flip-flops go clack, 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 clack. No matter everywhere you go, clack, 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 clack. People know you got on flip-flops because you clack, clacking, clack, clacking, clack, clacking, clack, clacking. No matter what happens, you're constantly clack, clacking. You need to be constantly applying peace. Everywhere you go, everywhere you go, everywhere you go, the gospel of peace. And we sing, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Really?
Yeah.
Don't let it come off. Don't let it come off. Flip-flops come off. To have your feet bound or shod means it never comes off.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. All right, you can go sit down. Come in, Faith Tommy. Verse 16 has some words in it that I think are just amazing. Just amazing. So you go ahead and read that, and I'm going to go back over here to the right scripture. Ready? Go read.
Above all literally means besides all. Believers should never be without the shield of faith. The large body shield usually measured about 4 feet high by 2.5 feet wide. It normally was constructed of alternating layers of bronze and oxide. Many of Rome's enemies used arrows dipped in pitch which would be set aflame and propelled toward the Roman soldiers.
Now you think you got it bad? When's the last time you had an arrow launched at your head that was on fire? If you have, we need to talk about your living conditions. All right, go.
The shield would break the arrow's force and cause them to fall harmlessly to the ground. Just as the soldier could not afford to be without this protective shield at any time, the follower of Christ cannot for one moment afford to be without faith.
So you get this. The verse says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all. Above all. Which means none of this stuff works unless you are in faith. Unless you take up faith. Unless you apply faith. Unless you use your faith. Your faith is a force, and that force will push back the wicked one if you use it. But remember I said some of y'all taking on half the armor or a little bit of the armor, but some of the armor, but not all of the armor. That's why the verse at the beginning of it says, take on the full armor of God, put on the whole thing, which means that you can't go anywhere without the whole thing. Don't make any sense for you to have your feet shod, righteousness around your breast, and truth around your waist without faith. Faith without works is dead. You take up faith with no word. You take up the word with no faith.
Yeah, that's right.
Empty.
Yeah.
Amen? Okay, I hope you're getting this because when you go next week, I'm going to be looking for some of y'all and be like, where's your faith?
Yeah.
All right, you can go sit down. Who's next? Huh. So we have an intern over at Super Kids, and since she can't be here, Taylor is going to step in for her. Get on up here, Taylor. You wondered why I put you on a red couch, didn't you? Come here. You were here today. Since you were here today, we're going to use you.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. This is pertaining to verse 17. Verse 17 says, take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Read it.
The fifth item, the helmet, was made of bronze with leather attachments or of leather strengthened with metallic plates. It protected the head of the individual. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 makes another reference to this piece of equipment, calling it the hope of salvation.
Hmm. Remember the word that came through on the stage? Now these three remain faith, hope, and love. So your hope is your blessed hope, which is the fact that you are going to heaven. At the end of the day, I don't care what happens to you, you're still saved. That's what Corey said. I'm still saved. I'm like, Corey, why'd you knock over my stuff? I'm still saved. Corey, why you jack up my... I'm still saved. So random, but you can't say anything to it. You're like... Yeah, you are, ain't you? You just can't say it. There's nothing you can say to that. All right, keep going.
It seems to refer to the fact that a person's will, a very important part of his intellectual process, is involved in the hope of full salvation.
Hmm. Now, did it say the person's will is involved or their intellect is involved in salvation? No, it's involved in the hope of your salvation. Hear that. Get that, understand that. You've got to stay so mindful of the fact of, that you have been saved and what salvation means, that the hope that is within you bubbles up with salvation on your mind all the time.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Christians must continue to will to serve God. If they expect the ultimate consummation, right?
Right.
Consummation of all his promises. The head may also symbolize the mind, which needs protection. Finally, Paul spoke of the offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
So get this. In order for you to get all that God has for you, you have to put your will, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions in submission to the Spirit, which is something you do. That's not just something that happens by default. You do that on purpose. You put your soul in submission to the Spirit. And when you put your soul in submission to the Spirit, you stay mindful and protect the fact that you are saved primarily. The primary thing that's going on in your life right now has nothing to do with whether or not you're in the middle of puberty or whether or not you're in the middle of an emotional crisis, emotional breakdown, whether or not you are dealing with all these feelings, emotions on the outside. The primary thing happening in your life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the primary thing that's going on in your life. And you have to be so, you have to have that wrapped around your mind all the time. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How do you defeat the enemy? How do you cut him down? With the Word. Jesus in the wilderness being tempted. Jesus, you know you're hungry. You know you're hungry. Turn these stones into biscuits. I'm sorry, that's the Alabama version of the Bible. We'll come back over here into the regular. Turn these stones into bread. Man, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You've got to be able to say some, it is written. The enemy comes at you, you've got to, it's written. Nope, it is written. It is written. I know my place because it is written. You can have a seat. Praise God. Now, let's get ready to wrap this up. Verse 18. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Jay West and I were talking yesterday at the gym, and he said this, there are some things that you just don't have to go through. People will oftentimes say, well, you know, to go through, to get stronger, you got to go through some things. That's hogwash. Prayer, look at me, young person, listen to me. Prayer will go out in front of you and get rid of some stuff before you ever get there. You wonder why you're able to sit here, listen and hear this word and understand it on the level that you're understanding it. Well, some of your parents were praying for you before you were ever born. Some of your parents spoke to you before you were ever born, before you were ever conceived, before mama was ever pregnant. Somebody spoke concerning you. The words that were spoken concerning you, that were spoken according to the word of God, never return void. But if you read your Bible, young person, super kid, you will find that it says that it will accomplish that which it was sent to accomplish. There was a word sent into your teenage years, and you're just now catching up with that word. There have been some words sent into this generation. We're just now catching up to that word. There were some words sent to this Southwest Believers Convention, and we're just now going to catch up to them. How were they sent? By prayer. Some people prayed out some things that God put on their heart to be prayed out so that you could step into something. And when you step there, you didn't have to go through the same trash that other people went through because it had already been defeated in prayer. I want you to understand this. Some of the weirdest, strangest, most incredibly awesome, but next level folks that I know are people who are deep in prayer. I had a woman who prayed me into the ministry. Her name's Debbie Bobo. I hope she catches this video. Debbie, I love you, Mama Deb. I promise I love you. Love you so much. She prayed me into ministry. Now, she ain't the only one. So some of y'all other ones that get this video and be like, she ain't the only person who's praying for you. I love you too. But I know that she prayed me into, and she would do some of the most freaky stuff. I'm serious. She called me. strange hours of the morning, like 2 o'clock. The Lord told me to pray for you. What it is, what you got going on? Nothing. I'm okay. Stop lying, boy. You need money? You got food? Yeah. You sound hungry. Did you eat today? Yeah. Ramen noodles don't count. And then when I got married, it didn't stop. She'd call. The Lord said that you and Brittany was trying to make some decisions and I was to pray about it. What kind of decisions y'all got going on? You tell me. I pull one of those Ezekiels. Can these dry bones live? Lord, you know. I'm like, Debbie, you know. What really freaked me out is when she started praying for you before I even knew you. Oh, it got it. Woo-hoo. The Lord told me y'all was looking at moving. I see where you're going. I just want you to know that. Those young people are waiting on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Then another woman who's very, very active in prayer in my life called me. Also, very strange individual. Called me and was like, I see the carpet. The carpet in the main sanctuary is blue. When you get to the place with the blue carpet, call me. That's where you're supposed to go. I walk into our sanctuary, blue carpet. It's green, but it looked blue on the thing. Yeah, I'm telling you, it looked blue to me. I thought it was blue. She thought it was blue. Praise God for green. I don't get into aqua. If it's anywhere close to green or blue, she was close enough. I showed her a picture of the sanctuary. I want to know what y'all talking about. Just hold it until after. Huh? Anytime they tell me to keep going, that means anyway, we'll talk later. I showed her. Check this out. Listen, I showed her a picture, and maybe this is where the hue issue came in. We need to get our cameras right. I showed her a picture of the main sanctuary of the stage that's in there, and she said, "That's the carpet. Go there." There are people in your life who have been praying for you. And here's the deal. I like to think of prayer as the Scud missile that is launched on your behalf before you ever get to the battlefield that blows up everything that the enemy has. So when you get there, all you got to go do is walk in and take the victory. There's some things you don't have to go through because people have prayed. And you will learn to use that weapon of prayer to make sure that other people don't have to go through it. Maybe, just maybe, your assignment, that burning that you have in your heart to help somebody, is there because you are called to pray against what it is that they are coming up on. They don't see it. They don't know it's there, but they're approaching it. And it's your prayers that are going to cover them when they get into it so that they never feel it. Again, I didn't even put Psalm 91 in my notes. But there's something to 1,000 falling at your side and 10,000 at your right hand and it not coming near you. And it not coming near them. Only with their eyes will they see. Have you ever been in something and you just came through it and you went, that could have been me. How did that not happen to me? How did that not take place? Why was I spared? I'm getting real real with you, young person. I've asked that same question. I look back over my life and some of the people that I was raised with and I go, how did I not have a baby at 16? How did I not end up in jail? How did I not get shot? What happened? Why didn't it come on me? It came on everybody else. Why didn't it come on me? Because I walked into somebody's prayer. I just happened to just walk face first into somebody's prayer. I can't wait to get to heaven so I can see how many people were praying for me and whose prayers I reaped from. David, if y'all come on back up here. You're getting ready to engage in battle. You're getting ready to be launched out into a place of warfare. And before we go into this part of our service, I will tell you this. There is, for those, if you've been coming to the intensive, raise your hand. You remember when, well, of course you remember because it's been the past few weeks. We've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in the Holy Spirit and what happens when you pray. And I've been accused, thank you very much, of saying the same thing all the time. There's a reason for that. Catch this. The Bible says, praying always in the Spirit. And let me make sure that I read this correctly. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Note, in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth and boldly make known the what? The mystery. The mystery of the gospel. What did we learn in the intensive? When you pray in the Spirit, you unlock mystery. It's mysterious how it is that you didn't catch it, but everybody else did. It's mysterious. There's a mystery. There's a mystery. But you unlock the mystery when you walk in the fullness of the armor of God. And that last piece of that armor are your prayers.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.